Ah, thank you. I want to it's a wonderful service, but I'm feeling still myself a little rushed. I know I've been kind of moving fast. Started out by reading the announcement so fast. I need time for my soul to catch up with my mind. And so I am thine. Slow it down a little bit. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. I want to hear you sing. I want to hear you sing. Come on. You know the words. I am thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love for me.
But I long to rise in the arms of faith.
In the arms of faith,
and be closer drawn to thee. Everybody, draw me nearer. Come on, draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious
knee. Just draw me nearer one more time. Just the chorus, draw me nearer.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where
a lot of static in the house. That's just the devil. But we're going to worship anyhow. Worship. This morning I want to talk from that scripture in Luke that was read earlier, Luke chapter 4. The temptations of Jesus. Sermon is about temptation. Anybody can relate to that temptation? Verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Another translation says he departed for an opportune time. And I want to talk about an opportune time. Someone has said, I wouldn't be tempted if temptation wasn't so tempting. If temptation wasn't so tempted, I wouldn't be tempted. Somebody else said, lead us not to temptation, just tell us where it is. You don't have to lead me, you just tell us where it is. You remember Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it the first time, but ever since then, I've been doing it on my own. Temptation. I can resist anything but temptation. We all have to learn how to deal with temptation. It seems that temptation seems to find us often at the most inopportune time. How many of you know temptation can come to church with you? Temptation comes in variety of forms. And in this text, Jesus had just finished being baptized. He had just finished getting his marching orders. God had said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased and just finished a major worship experience with God. And he goes out and is led by the Spirit out into the wilderness, and the devil shows up. And he is tempted. And very often temptation of Jesus was for the purpose of distracting him from his ultimate goal. How many of you know that temptation tries to get you off course? You got a goal. You're pressing on towards a mark. I've seen so many young people here at Mount Olive Baptist Church over the last 26 years with such wonderful promise. They were bright students, beautiful young ladies, or handsome young men, and somewhere along, they were coming to Sunday school, they were coming to church, and somewhere along the line, they got distracted. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They were lured off course, and sometimes you can get so far off course that it's hard to get back on course. But look at somebody and say, you can get back on course. You may be off for a while, you may be off for a season, but you can get, as long as you got breath in your body and you make up your mind and you decide, I have decided that I will follow Christ, you can get back on course once again. So Jesus had just got his marching orders from God, and then the devil shows up, and the very name Satan means an adversary. Look at somebody and say, you got an adversary. It means, Satan's name means one who opposes. The goal of your life and my life is to conform to the image of Christ in this life and to be brought safely into the kingdom of God at the end of our life. That's what, I don't know about you, but I want to make heaven my home. But Satan's goal is to distract you and get you off course so that you will turn your back on God. Do I have a witness in here? Anything that has the power to lure you away or to distract us from the goal of God is temptation. Temptation is the pervasive attraction. Look at somebody and say, it's a fatal attraction. Temptation can be fatal to you. But somebody sitting here right now, but as long as you're here right now, it doesn't have to be fatal, because you have an opportunity to turn around. Every last one of us have fallen short from the glory of God. Do I have a witness? Preachers up here, deacons out there, we all have fallen short. But as long as we're here right now, we have an opportunity to turn. So Jesus is led out into the wilderness, and he is tempted for 40 days. And some scholars, you know, believe that it was actually 40 days. But 40 in the Bible, if you read in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that he was only tempted for 40 days. 40 in the Bible, you know, is 40 years that they were in the wilderness. So but what the scholars think is not so much the days, but he was tempted for a long time. How many of you know that temptation is not just a short-term thing? It's not like you just tempted for 24. It's not like a TV program that's going to go off in a half an hour. You know, in TV, they're tempted in 2 minutes, and then they turn their lives around in 2 minutes. They done divorced in 2 minutes, and they're happy before the program goes off. But life is not like that. Life is a long haul experience, and temptation is a long haul program. And you and I, what Jesus is trying to help us to understand is, you've got to learn how to deal with your appetites. And I ain't just talking about oatmeal cookies. We all got some appetites, and the first temptation was that Satan shows up and he says to Jesus, I know you're hungry. You've been out here in this wilderness for 40 days and you haven't had anything to eat. And I can imagine Satan, the Bible doesn't say this, this is Jackson now, Satan probably had some candied yams there and some collard greens and some turkey and some chicken and if he was from South Carolina, some chitlins. and he'd probably dangle it in his face. And so, you know, the devil knows your Achilles heel. He knows your weakest point, and he will show up at the most inopportune time. And look at this. The other thing, the devil showed up when Jesus was by himself. How many of you know you got to be careful when you're by yourself? You better have a sister or brother around somewhere to keep you every now and then, because if you get out there by yourself, you might do anything. How many of you know when your mind is hungry, it will seek whatever it can get? I don't know how you feel about it, but food, if you're real hungry, your mind can play tricks on you. And I don't care what you're hungry for. Your mind can play tricks. Y'all in here over 21, you know what I'm talking about. Your mind, your appetites. And what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is you've got to learn how to control your appetite, your sexual appetite, your food appetite. You've got to learn your appetites, because if you don't learn how to control your appetites, they can get you off course. Look at some young people and say, did you hear what he said? Got to learn how to control your appetite. Now, I know you think that I'm talking to those teenagers. I'm talking about that other young person sitting right next to you. You know, you're always thinking you're young. Now you want to get it down to the teenagers. But any other time you want, oh, yeah, I'm young. I'm talking to all of us in here. We've got to learn how to deal with our appetites, because our appetites can distract us and get us off course. The devil tried to get Jesus off course. Now, first of all, be careful of anybody who comes to you with this kind of crazy talk. If you are the Son of God, if you are the man you say you are, if you really love me, y'all ever heard that one? I mean, if you really care about me, then you will do this. Look at somebody and say, be careful. When they come at you with that, if you, it's right here in Luke's gospel. That's the devil talking to you. If they come with you, if you are hungry, then turn these stones into bread. That's crazy. Why Jesus got to turn stones into bread? He can just make bread if he want to. So it says in this first temptation, he says, the most powerful temptation that any of us have to deal with very often is the temptation to handle our appetites. And whatever your appetite might not be my appetite. I might have it down over here in this area, but I got a weakness over here in this area. Do you know your weakness? Appetites can get us off course. Many people got off course and they never got back on course. Many people got addicted to their appetites. Drug addicts, alcoholic. People who got addicted to pornography. We don't talk about that much in church, but pornography. I'm looking out here. I'm not expecting you to raise your hand, but I know there's some people in here who are dealing with it right now, and they're up on the internet, and they give more to the internet, and they watch everything at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they are hooked on it. And it's not just men. You know, I know you women, I say, yeah, you tell them, Rev. You tell them, Rev. I'm talking to you too. Temptation. First, you are in control of it, but secondly, it becomes in control of you. And you got to find a way to be delivered. You can come up here and jump and shout and go home and still you're addicted. You can run and holler, you're still addicted. You need something to help to set you free. I think Jesus has something to say about it, how to be free. The second temptation. is to take moral shortcuts. The devil led Jesus up to a high place, showed him in an instant all of the kingdom of the world. He said to him, I'll give you all of this. Now, one writer that I was reading said, first of all, Satan took him up on this high place, but he looked out. It was a wasteland. It was a desert. It was a wilderness. Who want a wilderness? So it wasn't about the real estate. It was about, Satan says, I will give you authority. I will give you power. You will be a bad man. And I have the power to give it all to you right now. How many of you know Jesus was already on track to have all power anyway? How many of you know Jesus was on his way to the cross? He was on his way to be raised from the dead. He was going to have all power. He was going to be sovereign anyway. Well, so what Satan was saying is, you don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. If you just bow down and worship me, I will give you all power right now. You can short circuit all of that suffering. How many of you know what looks easy is not always easy? You've got to be careful when you start trying to take shortcuts in your life. There is no easy way to get where you need to be. You got to study. You can't always go to the cliff notes. You got to burn the midnight oil. There's no shortcut to glory. Satan will tell you, nah, if you just bow down and worship me one time, you don't even have to do it more than once. Just bow down and worship me. I will, look at that. You see that? Bins over there, you see that house over there, you see those clothes over there, oh my God, you see those diamonds she got on, oh look at those shoes, ain't they bad? If you just bow down and worship me, you don't have to sacrifice, you don't have to work, I have it within my power to give it to you right now. Look at somebody and say, there are no shortcuts. Got to go through the suffering. So in this text, Jesus says to him, it was Jesus' destiny to rule over the world. But the way to glory and power led through the cross. And after the surrender and after the resurrection, Jesus appeared with all power. The way for you to your fulfillment is hard work. The way for you to your fulfillment is through some suffering. The way to you, for you to be all that God made you to be is to cry sometimes. I wish I could tell you that you and I didn't have to suffer. I wish I could tell you that you and I didn't have to go through something. I wish I could tell you that you and I didn't have to lose our loved ones. But I can tell you that God will bring you through. I can tell you that God will lift up bow down heads. I can tell you there's no shortcut to being all that God would have you to be. And God is just making you, and God is just molding you, and God is just developing you. I want you to know there's no shortcuts. You've got to walk this lonely road by yourself sometimes. Sometimes you've got to cry all by yourself. But God is able. He's able to bring you through. And Satan says to Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. But I want you to know something. You and I, remember Satan says, just worship me. You better know who you're going to worship before temptation comes. Before somebody gives you a line about, you don't have to do this. Just join my gang. Just hang in with me. I'm a bad, look at me. I got diamonds, I got a car. I don't know your God, but I want you to know I serve the God of Abraham. I serve the God of Isaac. I serve the God of Jacob. I serve the God who calls men and women out of where they are and leads them and gives them a promise. I serve a God who provides manna in the wilderness. I serve a God who opens doors. I serve a God who brings water out of a rock. I serve a God who raises people from the dead. I serve a God that specialized to walk into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I serve a God, and I don't wait to the temptation come. I will not worship Satan. I decided a long time ago. I made up my mind. I'm going through all the way with the master. Thank you. You better know before temptation comes. Because let me tell you, Satan can make it sound so sweet. Do I have a witness in the house? You don't have to go through all that suffering. Ain't nothing in that church but a bunch of hypocrites anyway. Well, we got room for one more. He says, just worship me. I'll give you a shortcut. And you can have anything you want. How many of you know you can't always have anything you want? Third temptation. First of all, the first two temptations, Jesus used a word on them. First one, he said, man does not live by what? Better long. Second one says, instead, he said, to worship. Thou shalt not worship any other God. You worship the Lord thy God. Third temptation. And Jesus, I'm so glad when temptation comes, look at somebody and say, you got to know how to use the word on it. Because that's some temptation, I declare, it just looks so good. That's some temptation. If you don't have the word, you're gonna fall. Do I have a witness in here? You better have the word. You better have it in your BlackBerry. You better have a Bible in your hand. But Jesus used the word on him. And then the third temptation. Now, two times he's tempted Jesus. The third time, Satan started using the word himself. How many of you know the devil knows the Bible too? In this disguised religion, Christ tempted. The devil leads him to Jerusalem. And had him to go up to the highest point in the church, in the temple. And the devil says, if, remember what I told you about that if you were the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. This is where you go into the Bible. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, that will lift you up into their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. In other words, Satan says, just jump off of this. He's up on top of the building. Just jump off the building. This God that you serve will send an angel and catch you. I guess Jesus said, do you think I'm crazy? That's not in the Bible. That's me. That's Jacksonizing it. The appeal in this text is to do something spectacular. You know, we live in a time now when everybody wants something spectacular. They want the preacher to do something spectacular. You know, even in worship, we don't want just a regular way. We want to be entertained. We want the band to play. We want to rock them and sock them, and we want everybody to foam at the mouth. But how many of you know sometimes God just works in a still, small voice? He doesn't always have to work in the spectacular. Sometimes he does his best work in the routine. Do I have a witness in the house? Draw me nearer. Oh, Lord, to thee. And so Satan says to Jesus, come on in the church, go up to the highest point, and why don't you show people that you really are who you say you are, and that your God really is who your God says he is. In other words, Satan says to Jesus, prove yourself. If you're who you say you are, prove it to me. But how many of you know, I'm so glad that Jesus said, I don't have to prove nothing to you. I'm connected to another voice. I don't listen to you. I don't get sidetracked with your negativity. I'm tuned into another network. Me and God, we are one. The Father and I are one. I have come to fulfill His will. I will not be distracted. I will not be lured away. I have determined that I'm going all the way with the Master. Well, this message is really for all of us, but certainly for young people, for teenagers. Don't be sidetracked. Know who you are. You are your parents' son and daughter. You are a child of God. You cannot afford to waste 4 years in high school. You cannot afford to waste 4 years in college. You got your parents struggling to pay your tuition, and you down there partying and bawling and having to open a book one time. You cannot, don't you dare to be sidetracked. You are a person of purpose. You're on your way somewhere. You're going to make something of your life. You're going to help to turn this world. You're going to be the next Barack Obama. You're going to be the next governor of New Jersey. You're going to be something somewhere. You have paid too much. You have studied too long to be sidetracked by some negative person. I will not let you define who I am. I have already been defined by God who made me. I am somebody because God made me somebody. I have a purpose. And I will not jump off a building. I will not take drugs. I will not act a fool just because you acted a fool. If you're a fool, be a fool. But leave me alone. I will not. Now I recognize there are some people who got sidetracked and lured away. This is not in any way a condemnation, but I'm sure if they had this microphone, they would say it's not worth it. I thank God that I see people and I know people in here who've been out there in the far country, but they found their way back. And we praise God for them, and we thank God for them. We thank God that the Lord can do it and the Lord will do it. I thank God right now that He's able to do it. But if you had a choice, if you don't have to go that road, for God's sake, don't go that road. And then, just about done, Jesus was tempted 3 times. The bread, tempted to worship Him, tempted to jump off a building, and 3 times He had a word. And the devil said, okay, I will retreat, but I will be back. What I'm trying to tell you is just because you didn't fall to temptation yesterday, don't you get so high and mighty. Don't you think that I've been in prayer meeting all week. You know, I'm praying. A temptation could be sitting right beside you. In prayer, I mean right by you, right behind you, and we're scoping you out. Do I have a witness in here? Don't you get so high and mighty just because you're so old now you can't do what you used to do. You know how people are in church? They're old and they can't do nothing. All they can do is remember what they used to do. And they're so saved now. Well, look at somebody and say, there was a time. What I'm trying to get you to understand is the devil goes to and fro, seeing who he can devour, seeing who he can destroy. And he's looking for an opportune time, even for Jesus. Jesus managed to be strong in these 3 temptations. But the devil said, okay, I'm just going to retreat now. But then I heard that Jesus was on his way to Calvary. Jesus didn't, he did not, He did not succumb to the temptation early, but when he went to Calvary, he was tempted again. He was still strong, but he was still tempted again. He went all the way to Calvary, and I'm so glad that he went to Calvary, because he died for my sins, and he died for your sins. And we give him the praise that he was steadfast and unmovable. He would not be tempted by Satan. He went all the way. He died that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. That's why we worship him today. That's why we praise him today. That's why we give him honor today. That's why we magnify his name today. Because he's worthy to be praised. Don't you get sidetracked. You've come too far from where you started from. Don't you mess up now. You've cried too long. You've prayed too much. You've worked too hard. Don't you get sidetracked. Not now. You know, it would be a terrible thing to swim all your life, to pray all your life, to worship all your life, and almost make it in and drown in shallow water. Oh, I don't know about you, but I come too far from where I started from. I'm not a perfect person, but I thank you, God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that when I fall off track, that somehow I have a little time in your word and I get back on track. When I fall off track, I get into my prayer closet and I get back on track. When I fall off track, I come to worship and I get back on track. When I fall off track, I get around another saint and I get back on track. You need somebody praying with you. You need somebody working with you. You need somebody walking with you. You need somebody talking to you. Because all of us can be tempted, can be lured off track. I got a feeling that somebody in here right now, you got sidetracked. You're a good person, but you just got sidetracked. You're out there, and it is hard. It's hard to get back on track. And I want you to know it's not an instantaneous thing, but I want you to know you can do it. Oh, yes, you can. You can do it. Oh, if you just keep inching along, you just keep praying, you just keep, I dare you to read the word every day. I dare you to read the word every day. You're not going to change instantaneously, but the stuff when you read the word every day, the stuff that used to give you joy is going to mess with your spirit. Do I have a witness in here? You're not going to be able to do the things. You're not going to be able to enjoy them like you once did. Oh, because the devil is looking for an opportune time. He's looking for a season that he can attack you and destroy you and lead you astray. And so somebody can say, yeah, there's that deacon, there's that preacher, there's that church member. They were in church for 40 years and they still went to hell. They almost made it. But the devil was looking for an opportune time that he could come in and destroy your peace. But this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, I'm going to give God the praise. I'm going to give God the glory. This joy.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. In the Lord, till I.